I'd say on the soy spectrum, when they see like Tim and I on there, they're like, oh, these guys aren't as soy. They're like, these they're guys a little fuck. Bit less.
Well, yeah, speak exactly. for yourself. Hey, everyone. I'm Cam Caskey.
And I'm Tim Miller, and this is FY Pod. We talk about Gen Z stuff and such. And I have a few announcements before we get to our guest. For starters, we're taping this unusually early. It's on Tuesday afternoon. It's my fault. I can't keep track of my schedule. I'm taking applications for volunteer schedulers. Okay. I will only pay you in like the material we get from our advertising sponsors. You know, I'll share that with you. So it's not really good pay, but whatever. We're taping this on Tuesday. As such, like, who the fuck knows? And by the time this actually airs, Donald Trump might be in a military costume or something. We might be in a junta. So, you know, if something crazy happens on Thursday, that's why this happened. I also need to say, I received a message from one of my lady friends. I have a couple lady friends. And they said that me and Cam's discussion on Monday's show about virginity was very man-focused. We were very focused on the needs of men's sexual desires and needs. And I got to say, that's totally my fault because Cam is very in touch with everybody's needs. But I drove the conversation in a male direction. And so I'm going to ask Cameron to introduce me to a woman and we can discuss women's sexual needs in the context of virginity at a later episode. So I just want to throw myself on the mercy of the court and admit that this is a woke show. And sometimes even in a woke show, I can, you know, be patriarchal, and we're doing our best. We're trying to live and learn.
Speaking of woke patriarchal virgins, I want to introduce you all to our guest today, my friend, Adam Mockler. Adam Mockler is maybe the Zoomer at this point. I don't know if they make him any tougher than this guy. Adam does YouTube. He does the television. And he loves with his true human heart the whole
He's a debate lord. Like you, he does not have a college degree, which is really important because it's important for the people in the pro-democracy movement to appeal to folks that are not good at standardized testing. We're doing really well. Like we're kind of playing above our pay grade with people that that do well on standardized tests, not doing that great with like your C student. Or your student that is entrepreneurial, like Adam Mockler, and decided that he didn't want to be chained by the confines of Ball State University or wherever it was that he went, and he needed to spread his wings and fly. And I appreciate that.
Thank you guys for introing me right after the really serious virginity talk and then talking about how I appeal to college dropouts because I am one. Thanks for the beautiful.
You're welcome. That's good. That's called credibility. That's called like setting the credibility for the guests, for the audience.
Yeah.
So, Adam, before we get into all of the bells and whistles and the real meat of the discussion today, and before a big announcement that I have about a new Bulwark event coming up, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? You know, some people watching this might have seen you on CNN debating with 60-year-olds who are tripping over themselves. They might see you on the Miatis Touch Network, hanging out with the fellas over there, whose names I am aware of. But what got you into the ideological sparring match, the lion's den of ideas?
Yeah, my quick elevator pitch. I run a YouTube channel with like 1.5 million followers. I made this.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. We don't need to be taking out our follower cock at the beginning of the episode. No.
But listen, it comes back. I made this exact channel when I was like 9 years old. And I used to make all these dumb ass Minecraft videos. I used to edit all these videos, but I got really good at editing in the process. I remember in elementary school, I got kicked out for like debating my teacher about gay marriage. I was probably being a little jackass. And then after high school, after I stopped doing the Minecraft videos because I wanted to get girls or do whatever, I realized, wait a minute, I can combine my video editing skills. I can combine my like speaking skills, politics skills. And I started hitting these Trump rallies. The first video on my channel that's public is me hitting a Trump rally and debating all the supporters. And I think there's this vibe where my baby face kind of disarms them immediately and they don't expect me to kind of like debunk what they're saying in the moment. Since then, I've signed the Midas. They've helped me really build the infrastructure under me. And then I've used that as a launching pad to do these more high profile debates, which the same baby face disarm thing, I think, works.
A couple of follow-ups there. So yeah. Your first private video was you debating Trumpers, which is a great way to start. Like you just jumped in. Or your public. First public video. Your first public video is you debating Trumpers, which is a great way to start to get into your debate lord career. The private videos, though. Like what are the, give us a couple of the like more embarrassing ones that are behind the lock and key.
Dude, from your so the first one is days. Me playing Minecraft. There was one, yeah. I hit 200 subscribers, so I did a special video where I was in like a bath answering questions. I was
in
like
the bathtub? 13.
Yeah, I had like a swimsuit on. It was like a joke, but okay. Yeah, this is still private on my
Did
channel.
You have like rubber duckies around you, or were there bubbles? Was it a bubble bath?
Yeah, it was pretty. No, there were no rubber duckies. It wasn't that infantile. I was still like 12 years old, but I was answering questions. And man, Scott Jennings is going to, these MAGA people are going to love this, love hearing that I'm just.
That used to be a bathtub baby. Yeah. Okay, and another thing that you noted is that you were trying to get girls. I noticed you specifically said the word girls, which means that you might be the rare pro-democracy 23-year-old purely heterosexual male. Is that right? Are you somewhere in the LGBTQIA plus 2S community?
I'm purely heterosexual.
Wow. Holy shit.
Do you identify as an ally?
That is like a fucking albino giraffe.
Am I an ally? Cam, you weren't listening to the story. I got kicked out of class because I was debating my teacher about gay marriage.
Well, you didn't say what side you were debating on. You just said were debating gay marriage.
My teacher was too pro-gay, and I got kicked out of class for slurs, apparently.
Yeah. You're like, why can I not say the F slur? Yeah. Okay. Is this a free country? Can I not say the F slur in my first freshman year sociology class?
And that laid the groundwork for where I am.
I used to debate my fifth grade teacher about foreign policy and shit, and I didn't really know what I was talking about. But since, you know, becoming an adult, I sort of looked back and said, you know what? I was probably right a little bit more than I thought I was.
Congrats.
And his son ended up becoming an NFL player. So you really got to hand it to him. I think he does steroids now. So, Mark, you went from Minecraft to bubble bath videos when you were a 12-year-old boy. To debating Scott Jennings. I feel like there still is a bridge that we need to establish here before we get to the meat of it all, because something must have happened in between Minecraft bubble bath, Trump rallies, and Abby Phillips.
I don't know. I made music in high school. I got my heart broken. I grew up. I don't know. Like
I'm saying, were you in like a shadowy bar and like a mysterious figure just emerged behind you? And it was like one of the Miatis brothers. And then another one came up and they all recruited you.
The raw story on how I blew up? Okay. So yeah. I had all these skills in editing and everything. So when I started to go to college in Northwest Indiana, I took this film class. In this film class, I used it as sort of a launching pad to test out my first political video. So I made sure we made this like skit where it was a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas knockoff. And I was like, two bags of grass. We had Rick and Morty bladder acid. Play a clip.
I told the librarian everything.
No, you didn't, bro.
He knows about the weed. He knows about the acid, the vodka.
Nigga, what?
Aw, never called me that before.
Bro, what kind of... Bro. The narcs, they're fucking outside.
And then I realized I can still edit really, really well. So then I emailed a bunch of cameramen in Iowa, two states over. I said, hey, there's a Trump rally in 3 days. Can we please go? Like, is there any chance we can do this? One cameraman replied and said, yo, this is my only free weekend. Let's try it out. So I drove there. I met him. And 2 years later, this is like my main cameraman. So yeah, we filmed it. We edited it and it worked out well. David Pakman showed it on his channel and it got my video like 100,000 views. And that kind of shows you how it made its way around the internet. And then boom. Yeah, just a lot of luck, a lot of timing.
Amyl nitrates. That's amazing. Well, Cameron, you said you're in charge of the show today. So what are we going to talk about?
Adam has been going viral recently a lot for his debate lording. And I think that with Tim going on and asking Dean Cain what basic rights are when Dean Cain is signing up to go after grandmas and babysitters, and Adam doing his shit with Scott Jennings and the other dorks, I kind of wanted to have a conversation about the state of debate right now and what it means to be debating people in an environment where, on the right, the tactic to handle really anything is almost always just lie. It raises a question of like, how do you engage in some sort of pursuit of any greater truth with people who, when, you know, if their ideas are pushed to the limit or tested in any way, are just going to make up some shit about transgender illegals. So I thought it would be appropriate for us to look at a few clips of Mockler on television debating and just pick them apart a little bit and take the temperature.
What about mine? We're not doing highlight reels of me. We're only going to do mock.
Well, I just feel like the people who watch this already see all of the
I thought we were going to kind of rank. I thought we were going to sort of rank each other.
I told Cam. I said include a clip of Tim and Dean Kane. I said
okay. So I'm just fucking with you. That's fine. People have seen my highlight reel. We'll see how Makor stacks up. Let's check it out.
The party that promised to defeat the deep state very quickly became the deep state. Pam Bondi says, I have the list on my desk right here. They're rather silent for a few months. Then Elon Musk says, Trump is in the Epstein list. Then within weeks, apparently the list is gone. I mean, I'm looking at this photo of Jack Posobiec holding up the Epstein files. It says the Epstein files, phase one. But where's phase two? There's no phase two.
He actually helped Epstein be prosecuted. He was the only person who was involved. Kicked him out of the Epstein. You know all this. Like, it's just a very
have you heard of Alexander Acosta? You were duped to cover up sexual abuse of children.
Donald Trump was kicked him out of his.
Alexander Acosta was a Florida district attorney. You can look this up. He knew both Trump and Epstein. He was appointed as a Secretary of Labor under Trump and had to resign in 2017 because people found out that he mishandled the Epstein case in 2007 and let Epstein get an illegal plea deal. Epstein was then able to go reoffend, and Trump appointed him in 2017. So I don't want to hear the dude that was brought to the White House to cover up sexual abuse saying that there was, I don't, like, what are you trying to say here? Yeah.
You got to wipe your face? Can you just wipe that little thing off your face there a little bit? You got a little, right, hold you got on a little mud on your face.
So you have no points.
Hold on a second.
This motherfucker, I hadn't shaved that morning, and he thinks that that's a valid comeback to getting rolled on TV about covering up pedophilia.
Pizzagate Jack learning from Carrie Lake. In one of my debates with Carrie after I'd cornered her, she was like, why do you dress like a 13-year-old boy? It's not a bad attack. I will say, like, I guess points, you know, if you don't have any substantive points to make fun of my fit, is like, it's kind of better than some of the alternative options there. But that was pretty good. Why can we talk about Piers for a second before we talk about CNN? Because I think that one of the interesting questions is, like, which I wrestle with, and I'm wondering if you do too, Adam, which is, like, why do this? Like, there you are. It's you and Pizzagate Jack and a fat guy and another fat guy, neither of whom are identifiable to my eye.
Zero good outfits on the entire panel, by the way.
Zero good outfits.
Look at all the dudes, and that includes you and your fucking athletic t-shirt.
Yeah, Adam, your sweaty tee. Your sweaty tee was the best of a bad bunch there.
Zero drip.
To be fair, I probably should have shaved. But no, to answer Tim's question, I think it's really important for us to be in these spaces, because if not, maybe a weaker debater would have been there, or we wouldn't have been there at all and had no representation. And in the attention economy that we all currently live in, being in these spaces and making sure that you dominate the narrative with the facts, or with at least fact patterns that people wouldn't hear otherwise. Because think about who's watching Piers Morgan. They think the average liberal is the soyest person possible. And when they see
soyest, that's S-O-Y-E-S-T, soyest.
Yeah, the soyest person possible.
That's
and
a great
when they
word,
see
yeah.
someone like Tim.
And for people in our audience who don't have the newspeak of soy, it's my understanding that soy is sort of like, I was going to say beta, but that's also kind of newspeak. Soy is low testosterone.
Yeah, being a wuss.
Bet.
Being a wuss, yeah.
I'd say on the soy spectrum, when they see like Tim and I on there, they're like, oh, these guys aren't as soy. They're like,
these
they're
guys
a little
fuck.
Bit less.
Well, yeah, speak exactly. for yourself.
Okay, well, I should take off my pearls. That's why I take off my pearls sometimes when I go on, because that does give me a little bit of a soy vibe. Sometimes on the weekends, I like to enjoy some refreshments. You know, I like to enjoy some things that chill me out a little bit, including something from our newest sponsor, Corebred Hemp. Maybe you've tried everything under the sun for the peace of mind, but you might want to try Cornbread Hemp CBD gummies. I haven't tried those, but I've tried their beverages. And let me tell you, the beverages are yummy. And I appreciate that the person that wrote the script did not make any jokes about how old I am in writing it. I need my peace of mind more than usual lately, which is why I've been reaching for these great federally legal CBD and THC beverages before I doze off, or as an alternative to drinking bourbon and cokes before I head out to a live event. Cornbread Hemp CBD gummies are made to help you feel better, whether it's stress, discomfort, or just needing a little relaxation. They only use the best part of the hemp plant, the flower, for the purest and most potent CBD. All products are third-party lab tested and USDA organic to ensure safety and purity. Right now, FYPod listeners can save 30% off their first order. Just head to cornbreadhemp.com/FYPod and use FYPod at checkout. That's cornbreadhemp.com/FYPod and use code FYPod. Okay. So your view is you have to be on there to give pheromones, you know, in case there's some dudes on there that just are under the impression that all libs don't are not, you know, have no Musk, have no, you know, that's why you're on there?
Just to clarify, no, it's not that. It's to basically be able to dominate the narrative in a palatable way. Like, number one, like yeah. I said, it's the attention economy. If we can go on there and put up decent arguments, the way that you operate on Piers Morgan, Tim, is really solid because thanks. You speak like it's intuitive and like it's common sense. You're like, these people just want to come here to do this. And it's like all common sense. And it actually comes across really, really strong. Imagine if you would have denied that and instead some unhinged liberal comes on and isn't able to make the arguments as well. Then we're ceding territory online. Somebody that already has a preconception of liberals as weak and weird will then see liberals as weak and weird. And yeah, I think it's just important for us to be out there. Really quickly, a lot of people in my audience always say, why do you give air to MAGA? Don't give air to Charlie Kirk and MAGA platforms. It's like, dude, Charlie Kirk is the air. They are the air right now. So we're fighting an uphill battle. We're like Sisyphus pushing a boulder up a hill every single day trying to fight back. And we have to be in these spaces.
What if the argument is that this is all just fucking entertainment? And like, it's just, it's like watching a car wreck. It's like rubbernecking. It's just like people just want to see, you know, the people that watch Piers are just like already have their ideological, you know, priors. And like, they just want to see fights. And they just want to cheer for their guys and like make fun of the other guys. And so like, you're not actually convincing anybody. I have a counter to that, but I'm curious what yours would be.
I think that you can't change the playing field. I think that what you just said right there is essentially the playing field of politics. And that's proven every single time Trump steps on the stage. But right now, Republicans are fucking whooping our ass on this attention playing field. They have all these WWE type figures. Half of Trump's cabinet, he plucked off of Fox News, and they're like melting down off of booze in front of our military generals, right? So the point is, if that's the playing field right now, we need people out there who can be punching back and playing on that field. And I agree, it shouldn't be that way. I wish it could be more substantive. But what's your counter?
Yeah, my answer to that is actually it's not for the people watching the full hour. And that's not who I'm trying to reach, frankly. I mean, maybe I'll reach somebody that's watching the full hour that is interested in what I say. But it's all about clips. Like, here's the thing about, you mentioned Charlie Kirk, I know he is the heir. The average person, you guys actually tell me if I'm wrong about this, but my perception is like the average 23-year-old like is consuming politics almost entirely through short form video, and they're getting it on TikTok or Reels or maybe YouTube Shorts, but like mostly TikTok and then a little bit of the others and maybe a little Snap. And the preponderance of what they're getting is like, Charlie Kirk debate me, Ben Shapiro debate me, bro. I'm owning libs videos. Like, that's one thing that they're getting. They're getting goofy Trump stuff that like kind of makes him look goofy, but also is kind of funny, like makes them laugh a little bit. And they're getting like crazy libs. Like, here is like a far left person, like using weird language about, you know, Latinx or whatever. And like, you know, they're being made fun of. Right. And like, there's sure there's other clips in people's feeds of like politicians saying politician stuff. But like the dominant stuff out there that they're getting is either conservatives positioning themselves as winning this thing, Trump goofy stuff, lib crazy stuff. And like me going on and in my own bubble and just getting on my soapbox, it's fine. Like, that gets out to my listeners and all people that follow me, and they like that stuff, and maybe they share that with their friends. But like, the only way to break into that world of like the casual is to do a funny thing, like beat the fuck out of Dean Cain about ICE, in the hopes that that like clip is now. So now when the like non-political 23-year-old is going through their For You page, it's like, oh, here's Charlie Kirk, RIP, owning somebody. Here's this guy I'm just meeting, Tim Miller, owning this deuce, this Superman guy. Here's whatever, right? You know what I mean? Like, kind of so to bring balance to that. Maybe that's wishful thinking. I don't know. What do you think about
that? I also have mixed thoughts about the matter, because generally speaking, like, I think the debate stuff is like intellectually so dumb, because the example that I use is, if you go up and you're debating somebody and you say, Trump sending ICE to do this to migrants is against the law. And the person you're debating says, oh yeah, what law? And you can't immediately name the exact law that it's violating. And you go, it's against the law. You lose and you look like the fucking idiot. And then the debate ends and you Google it and it's like, oh, the something act of 19
that
something,
is a problem
whatever.
For debate losers. But that's not a problem for me and
memorization
Mock.
Game.
Okay, well, that's not a problem for me and Mock, is that we never get cornered like that. But so continue. What are your other concerns? Because that one is resolved. by never being cornered.
It doesn't matter about this specific example. The point is, it is very often a memorization game where your ability to perform in a certain way is more under consideration than the pursuit. But the other thing that I say, and this is just kind of building off of what you were saying, is I feel like there's a lot of people who are not, you know, policy wonks that want to get into the politics of it all, that see the act of debate as, you know, so intrinsically tied to the validity of a certain mindset. And that was, you see that with how people talked about Charlie Kirk. They were like, oh, say this about Charlie Kirk, say that about Charlie Kirk. He was willing to debate people. He was willing to go where they were at. And that is so often like an integral part of how people treat the seriousness of what you're saying, your willingness to go into other places, including not your home field, and debate it. And that's sort of how I feel where so like, while I think that if you really pick apart the actual mechanics of what debating is, it is not some substantive search for a greater truth that involves an exchange of ideas, but it is important in the sense that if this is going to be team sports, not showing up on the field doesn't mean you're winning the game. It means you're not showing up on the field.
I would add just one more thing that's not interesting. You're taking Mark, like, to take us out of it. Like, let's bring in Mehdi, who's a good example. Like, I don't love that, you know, all the Jubilee stuff. Like, some of it, like, is a little cringe, of course. And it's, you know, but I see what they're trying to do. And I get that. I appreciate that. Mehdi, like, going in and debating those 20 Nazis, like, I think was like pretty important in that it was the first time in a while that that trend that I talked about how people were being fed in their feeds, you know, a lot of, oh, look at this crazy lib shouting about whatever land acknowledgement, whatever the stupid thing is of the day, like the most extreme person on the left does on a college campus at some protest and having that represent the whole left. Like there wasn't any balance to that. And that Mehdi video happened and all of a sudden people were starting to share this and being like, whoa, they're like people who say that they're Nazis on campuses now. Like I thought that the Dems were just accusing Republicans of being Nazis, but like here are like three dudes who are like, no, yes, I'm a racist. I'm quoting Carl Schmitt. I feel like that's useful to get that out there.
So useful. And we were ceding so much ground in the clip economy. We still are, because the right-wing ecosystem, to build on what you were saying, Tim, they've created this sort of pipeline. I always call it the pipeline to volume theory, because they have all of these online pipelines that suck young men and women down, or people of all ages. So say you're a young dude and you're into working out, you work out a bunch and you eventually get sucked down this pipeline that's like, make America healthy again. Or say that you're a young dude who has dating problems, like every 17-year-old has, you eventually get sucked down the pipeline to Andrew Tate stuff. There's young mothers who get sucked down the vaccine pipeline. Young people who don't like AIPAC are now watching Nick Fuentes. I can continue to go, but they have these pipelines. Or Candace Owens, whatever it is. If you're slightly into something, they suck you down the pipeline, then it hits you with volume, volume, volume. I have so many friends who are vaguely Christian, and now they're obsessed with Charlie Kirk videos. Like the volume of Charlie Kirk videos that are out there, thousands, maybe even like 10,000 Charlie Kirk debate clips just surf. Maybe not that many, but a lot of Charlie Kirk debate clips out there on the internet.
I think that many for sure.
Yeah, the point is they have so much volume that we need to be countering that with our own volume, creating our own pipelines. And Cameron's right. It does kind of turn into a game of whack-a-mole sometimes. Like when you're debating a conspiracy theorist, they'll have all these random theories that pop up and you have to like endlessly whack them down, even if you don't know what they're talking about. But overall, debate is good. And this next clip of me on CNN with Scott Jennings, if we could play that, I think could be a decent clip.
Hey, who's the host of the show? Mark, whose channel are we on right
now? I'm taking it over.
See, Cameron, see, this is how he does. This is why he doesn't get cornered like you, you know, like when in doubt.
When have I ever gotten cornered?
I saw the soy radiating out of Tim and I said, sorry, I got to.
I don't know when you've ever. I've never seen you get cornered, but you seem very concerned about it, that you're not going to know the immigration law of 1986 and that that's going to prevent
you from debating. You know, prolonged adolescent cannabis use made it so my synapses don't fire very quickly. And the neurons in my brain.
You've got to offset that with some uppers. The host has a question now.
One of the other things, and this kind of goes to what you were saying about the conspiracy theorists, Adam, is one of the things I struggle with is when you're debating somebody and they say so many things that are nuts in one breath that you have to pick your battle and figure. When we had Natalie Winters, who's Steve Bannon's cam on the show, she like Tim and I would just be sitting there and she would go on for 2.5 minutes at a time. And in those 2.5 minutes, make 7 to 9 insane assertions. And then we had to figure out like, okay, which of these do we like go with? But yeah. Anyway, Dante, let's take a look at this clip of Adam and Scott Jennings.
And I think so, at the same time.
So now we have two people here who are saying it's Donald Trump's fault.
Scott,
that someone shot
that.
Up an ICE facility.
Nobody is saying that.
You Donald literally Trump's said fault. That.
Listen, let me finish.
And then you agreed with
you
it.
You want to know what I said? I said Donald Trump created this environment over the past decade. You sat here and said, I need to take responsibility. I'm a 22-year-old YouTuber. You hold me to a higher standard than the man that
I'm
we
holding
just
you to your
to.
Standard of your punditry.
Donald
your
Trump
punditry
was just vomiting vitriol out of his mouth about how the other party is weak and evil. And he just said, the party of hate, evil, and Satan. You blind yourself to that, and you're focusing on a 22-year-old YouTuber.
Dude, I like how you covered your eyes when you said blind yourself. That type of gesticulation tells such a good story.
What is I'm curious what the Jennings vibe is like with you at the commercial break. Can you talk about that a little bit? Then we'll do the debate stuff. That's what the people really want to know.
He's fine. He's affable. He's a nice dude.
Yeah. He's from, well, I don't know about nice. He's affable, though. I had one of the worst hours of my life was after Joe Biden had a medical event on the stage in the most important debate in modern history. Then I was there in Atlanta to do spin afterwards. Luckily, it was so bad that nobody wanted me to spin because they needed to like call in more important people than me to come on TV. So it was like a moment of seriousness. They didn't need a clownish YouTuber to come in. So that was nice. But and the next day at the airport, I walk up, I'm in the security line, and fucking Scott Jennings walks behind me in the security line. Like, what are the odds? I had to wait in the I am TSA pre, but I had to wait in the security line for like 6 minutes with Scott Jennings. And it was a true nightmare. Somebody I've known for a long time. And he was so smug and so happy. And I was just like, this is a cosmic punishment for me. This is a cosmic punishment. I was paid off last week, though, because I got into the security line next to Ezra Koenig, and we got to hang out and vibe out. People can Google who that is if they want. But anyway, the value of debating on CNN versus the YouTube stuff. Talk to me about that. Is that like brand building, or do you think that there's a point of going on CNN?
You're clip farming. You're getting the clips that you want to put on people's For You pages, and they fucking clips are everywhere. And it's like, I love you, Adam. You're my friend, but it's like, you're my friend. I want to be able to look at social media and watch baseball clips and look at Legos and lizards and stuff. And it's just fucking clips of you on CNN the whole time.
That's right.
Some of it is brand building. But honestly, as I was going on the show for the past few months and like prepping for it, especially, this is going to sound arrogant, but I was turning on mainstream media like CNN or MSNBC. Yeah. And I was thinking, a lot of our pundits are just boring. A lot of the people on our side are a little bit okay. Boring. Is this
present company excluded? That's all. I'm over there. Are you not watching my Nicole Wallace hits? I mean, I'm fucking lighting the room on fire for those ladies. You know, the wine grandmoms.
On MSNBC, I do impressions of people. Like, there's multiple clips of me doing funny voices on it. All right. So maybe be a little bit more specific, because present company is doing a pretty good job.
I'm clearly not talking about you guys. I'm saying generally when I turn on the no. I'm not talking about my friends that go on TV and do hits. I'm saying when I turn on the mainstream prime time, I'm just not as captivated as when I go on YouTube and I watch you guys who pull 100 million views a month or 200 across platforms. Like, you guys clearly are the outlier in what I'm saying here because you have online profiles. But I'm just like, yeah, I think mainstream media needs more personality, needs people who can push back. And I think that we need people who can do a good job. I think, Tim, you do a good job on Piers Morgan.
I have another question for you. Can you, like, you were talking about your prep. Like, how much prep are you doing? Like, you're pretty sharp up there while we're gassing each other up. Like, you seem to have, are you just rolling? Or do you have some material working?
Didn't we already establish that he's a straight guest? Oh, preparation.
Yeah, not prep. I'm doing prep every afternoon, but we're talking about debate prep. Yeah. You know, like a book you don't do before this podcast, like get ready, you know, think about the topics, think about what you're going to say.
We get the topics like 5 hours beforehand or whatever. I think that's the prep I do. I have an advisor now, Micah. He's great. Micah Irfan. You probably see him on Twitter all over.
I love Micah. Micah's a potential FY pod guest. We're monitoring him. We're just kind of, we do a lot of vetting first. So we'll see if he makes the cut. But Mike is helping you out.
Yeah, he's like our lead policy advisor. He's been for like a month. It's funny because our lead policy advisor is like the same age as me. So when I bring him in, it's just two young dudes. Yeah. I'm like, our lead policy advisor, Micah, and it's another 22-year-old. But I think that, yeah, the prep, a lot of it is just intuitive too. It's interesting because you know this, the short form debate like back and forth is different than long form debate. You're playing a game. You're playing a different game there. So a lot of that is just rhetoric. But I think
that's what I'm saying. Do you have like a 90 second like little elevator pitch? You're working your head. You're like, I know the topic's going to be whatever, the shooting. Here's my thing about young white men. And you like practice it a few times. You practice it a few times in your head or no? Or you just, do you take notes? Like what's your
Yeah, method? I have a few fallback lines I can hop on. But that white man algorithm thing was actually something I've been working on for a few weeks. I didn't even think I was going to bring that up, but everyone was like bickering. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pull it back and try to go broader here. But no, one point that I made there, I think was illustrated in real time, that all of these right-wing pundits hold Trump to like no standards and hold left-wing pundits to the most impossible standards. This motherfucker, he points at me. He goes, why don't you take responsibility for this? And that was a good opening because I was like, wait a minute, you want me to take responsibility when just a second ago you were saying Donald Trump himself basically has no responsibility for upping the political tension. It's pretty annoying and I'm sick of it.
What about nervousness? What's your nervousness level?
I'm getting a lot better at not being nervous. Here's the thing. Being nervous is normal. Even before Piers Morgan, I get a little bit sweaty. It kind of like, it throws off my morning because I have to spend my morning prepping and everything. Yeah. But I'm getting to a point where I'm trusting myself. Once you can trust yourself to deliver, does that make sense? Like I know that even if I fuck up a bit, I can pull it back together and I trust myself to deliver. So Draps. That's been really... Yeah,
the live TV is a little bit more nervy. Like being around the table with you know Scott there and those guys, is that isn't a little more?
I've
nervous?
Actually found that to be no. I find that to be calming. I find that like to that be better. My environment. I like that a lot.
Yeah. This show is sponsored by OneSkin. I love OneSkin so much. I've been getting the straight bros around Louisiana. You might notice Dante, our producer, is just down in New Orleans. You might notice that more straight men around town are moisturizing right now. And that's because of the one man campaign that I've been on to get straight heterosexual men to moisturize their face. And we're starting to see some differences already. And if you're going to do that, why not start with OneSkin? Known for cult favorites like OS One Body, OS One Face, and OS One Eye, OneSkin stands out for their science-first approach, delivering hydration, barrier support, and powerful longevity benefits in a single step. At the core is their patented OS One Peptide, the first ingredient proven to target senescent cells, the root cause of wrinkles, crepiness. You don't want crepey skin, Cam. Very important. And loss of elasticity. Makes you start to look old. Nothing wrong with looking old, but... You know, why not fight off the elasticity and crepiness as long as possible? OneSkin has also attracted A-list fans from Katy Perry. Even Katy Perry is doing it. To Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston looks amazing. OneSkin is the first skin longevity company targeting cellular aging to keep your skin and scalp looking and acting younger for longer. For a limited time, you can try OneSkin with 15% off using code FYPODCAST. We're adding the cast at the end on this one. At oneskin.co, that's 15% off oneskin.co, code FYPODCAST. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Try OneSkin today. Your future self will thank you.
We were talking about this on the Monday night episode of the show when we were talking about alleged sex creep and journalist Andrew Callahan talking to Pete Buttigieg and getting ripped for not asking him certain questions. It is kind of challenging sometimes when you're in front of someone to like actually hit the same way that it might be a little bit easier on like a Skype call or a Zoom call or whatever. But it just brought me back to when I was ripping on Marco Rubio at the town hall after the shooting at my high school. And I was like really fucking going after him for a very prolonged amount of time when I was 17. Like that was,
we should put that up for people who've missed it.
So Senator Rubio, can you tell me right now that you will not accept a single donation from the NRA in the future?
So, number one, the positions I hold on these issues of the Second Amendment, I've held since the day I entered office in the city of West Miami as an elected official. Number two, no, the answer to the question is that people buy into my agenda. And I do support the Second Amendment. And I also support the right of you and everyone here to be able to go to school and be safe. And I do support any law that would keep guns out of the hands of a deranged killer. And that's why I support the things that I have stood for and fought for during my time here.
More NRA money? More NRA money? In the name of 17 people, you cannot ask the NRA to keep their money out of your campaign?
I think in the name of 17 people, I can pledge to you that I will support any law that will prevent a killer like this.
No, but I'm talking NRA money.
No. No, because...
Matter of fact, I bet we can get people in here to give you exactly as much money as the NRA would have.
But it's not... But ultimately, look, the First Amendment is as important as the Second. And therefore, you have every right to ask that question of me, and I'm here to tell you that I will stand for the things.
Are you going to be accepting money from the IRA in the future?
I've always supported, I will always accept the help of anyone who agrees with my agenda.
That was a very long, extended confrontation, and it was with someone who was an authority figure when I was 17, and I had never interacted with politicians before and everything. But I think what happened with Marco was when I looked him in the eye, I didn't see a person looking back. I just saw a soulless like body. So it wasn't hard for me to confront him because I didn't see any humanity behind his eyes. Whereas other people that I've talked to and been afraid to confront, sometimes it's because I do see that there's a person in there. With Marco, it was just a different story. And I'm curious, Tim, like when you've like face to face had to go at it with somebody, do you like experience a varying degree of like, oh, there's a person here?
Not really. Yeah. I mean, kind of like Mark, it's weird. It shows you how irrational nerves are. Oh, maybe this can be useful for somebody. Because like Mockler, like I actually, there's something calming to me about being in a debate setting. Like I know we're going back and forth and it's not, I wouldn't say that it means that I see that they're soulless or whatever. I'm just like, you're like either when I was on the circus and I was interviewing them, I'm like, this is a hostile kind of thing. I get a little nervous, obviously. Confronting someone is a nervous is not the most comfortable thing. But I would be like, okay, I'm in this environment where I'm either debating Dean Cain or I'm questioning Ted Cruz or Steve Bannon or Carrie Lake or whatever. And like I'm playing my role in this thing and I get locked in on that. And then in my home little studio here, I don't even think about it. I'm just doing 1,000-mile stare at the empty screen and just fucking cooking. I get more nervous like in friendly like interviews. Like every once in a while, which is crazy, like I'll still get nervous if it's just like me and Chris Hayes on set together. Because I'm like, ooh, I don't kind of know what he's going to ask me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of people are watching this live. And like, do I have something on my face like Adam did? I don't know. Like, I get nervous in irrational ways sometimes. And like, the debate thing is not really it for me.
I didn't actually have anything on my face, motherfucker.
Oh, you didn't?
Okay. Yeah, Tim, you're buying into right-wing propaganda right now.
I am already buying it. This is why that stuff works. I did actually dress like a 13-year-old. I will say just really quick on the Andrew Callahan thing. Because we had some commenters who are also Patreon members of Andrew Callahan, which I think is shows our reach, you know, that we're crossing different bubbles. And some of them had watched it. And Cam, you said on the app, you were like, I guess the feedback was that he didn't ask Pete about Israel at all. And it turned out he did. They talked about it for like 10 or 15 minutes, apparently. I still haven't seen it. And I just think that's like so interesting. That is the other like element of all this. When you think about this versus long form and clips versus audience, et cetera, it was like some of the audience for some of these long form debates, the people are there just because they want to see the person get embarrassed, right? Like there was some people in the Andrew Callahan audience that are like, he's not trying to convince anybody. Like I don't like Pete because I perceive him to be a corporate woke lib or whatever. And I'm a like dirtbag leftist and I just want to see him lose. And when Andrew didn't win, like people were mad. And I think that like, that's just kind of a dumb way to think about all this stuff. Cause it's just like, that's not serving any purpose. Like having our biggest fans at the Bulwark be so happy that I owned somebody is like, great. But like, that is just empty calories, you know? Like the point of this is like, how can you frame stuff up in ways that can at least maybe like reach other people too?
Counterpoint.
You
know?
At least that's how I think about it. You want to make people counterpoint. You want to make your fans happy, Mark. That's your counterpoint.
No, I said F. Dean Cain. Counterpoint. F. Dean Cain.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about owning somebody. Nothing wrong about that.
Adam is so good at YouTube that he is just so scientifically trained to not even say fuck. Like he just knows to say F for monetization purposes. Like,
is that true? What about the R word? Are you saying that one, Mark? Have you come up with a channel policy on that one yet, or? The P word?
I don't personally say the R word on my channel or much in my life, but I do have a shoot coming out soon that I did with Michael Knowles where the crowd started chanting libtard at me. So I said, you want to call me a libtard? Your president is the R word. And I did say it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's coming out soon.
The movement goes on. La Resistance lives on. Is the Michael Knowles thing coming out? Do we have confirmation for that?
It should be coming out. The Michael Knowles team continues to say it comes out. Yesterday, I tagged him in an Instagram story, and I said, soon, my debate with Michael Knowles will be coming out, and he saw it. They didn't even confirm it. I just want to place pressure on them, basically. And it got like...
It got like what? Sorry.
30,000 views. So people,
I was one of the 30,000 viewers, and I and we've spoken about this. Me and Adam have. I'm bringing it into the public. I'm already upset at you about it, though. I'm already upset about the debate with Michael Knowles, because he did not bring up the picture of Michael Knowles doing the gay movie where he's naked in bed with another man, because Michael Knowles did gay film before he became one of the nation's leading anti-gay hate mongers. And I'm like, it is incumbent upon anybody that debates with Michael Knowles to come with a life-size printout of him in bed with another man for a softcore gay porn. And now I'm going to want that on screen of this video right now, because I do like to bring it up as much as possible. And so I'm a little bit disappointed in you on that.
Can I end this off by saying what I realized when debating Michael Knowles, like, just to bring it back to being serious for a second, when I was debating Michael
Knowles, I'm fucking dead serious. I'm serious as a heart attack, that I want everybody that talks to Michael Knowles to come and bring that picture up so that he has to see it and live with his own shame and hypocrisy. I'm dead serious. Now you can also be serious. I just don't want anybody to think I'm joking about that, in case anyone else has an opportunity to see Michael Knowles anytime soon.
I realize that this guy is literally just playing a Christian theocrat on TV, essentially. Yeah. Like, all these people are playing. Like, when you do these debates, everyone's super nice in the green room. You know, you bro up in the green room. You're like, what's up? And then you go on TV and you're going at each other. But overall, I feel like a lot of these people are playing acts. And we're basically ourselves when we do these debates. We don't have to put on a bit or, like, be smug or whatever. It's just like we're being ourselves. And I think at the end of the day, that's what people forget. I also want to say, does this come out on Thursday?
Saturday.
Saturday? Okay. Thanks. My birthday is on Thursday. So I was going to say, this is, thank you for indulging me with this episode of my clips during this week.
I'll tell you, shout out to Kellyanne Conway, who is in the spirit of Adam, who is a B word in the green room as well. Yeah, and I respect that. I respect that. Okay. I'm with you. I don't like people being fake nice to me in the green room. Okay. Like, whatever. I'll throw down a beer with some MAGA people but I'll shit talk them while I'm doing it too. Like, I'm not going to be a dick about it, but I'm not going to like pretend like, oh, I think they're great. But I don't love the fake nice stuff. I'm like, okay, just like be a dick. You're a dick. That's fine. Just own it. So shout out to Kellyanne for that. But you're right. Most of these people are fake.
It's because a lot of them are fucking actors. I mean, you know, I don't know how often we talk about this. I talk about it a lot in my personal life. The acting / theater to politics theater pipeline is so remarkable. The more people you talk to in the political media space, you make one reference to a musical and they're like, oh, you're a freak too. All right. Like, there's so many fucking theater kids. Michael Knowles, theater kid. Ben Shapiro wanted to be a Hollywood writer. Andrew Klavan had some success as a Hollywood writer. They all came together and did The Daily Wire. And The Daily Wire is just
a James O'Keefe has a theater troupe. James O'Keefe had, like, Project Veritas paid for a dancing troupe. James O'Keefe, I met this gentleman at a Turning Point USA event. James O'Keefe has a choreographer. He had a choreographer on staff at Project Veritas so they could do dance routines.
And one of the things that has been lending to the really rapid decline we've seen in The Daily Wire, other than their inability to reel their own talent in ways that ends up making them eat each other alive, is that they tried to expand very hard and very fast and with a lot of dark money into movie and TV production. Daily Wire started doing these very, very expensive productions. They wanted to make an anti-woke Snow White movie starring Brett Cooper, who is married, so that's all I'm going to say. They wanted to make a medieval, like, King Arthur show called The Pendragon Cycle, adapting these famous novels. These are not cheap productions. They wanted to make a counter anti-woke Hollywood, which requires millions and millions of dollars. But these people aren't talented. They made a cartoon called Mr. Burcham with some right-wing comedian, Andrew something, I don't know, and like Candace voiced a character. And I'm pretty sure, like, if not Tommy Lahren, like one of the Tommy Lahrens running around did it. And it makes me think, like, I think we should make a project where Midas Touch and Bulwark both get just a set budget, and we, using all of our talent, have to make our own movie that is bringing woke back to Hollywood.
I would rather not do that.
Did you see the Lady Ballers trailer? Do you know what Lady Ballers was?
I know the Lady Ballers, yeah.
He was an anti-trans basketball sports movie, and all of the Republicans were acting in it. Fucking Ted Cruz cameos, Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, Jordan Peterson. Like they literally just made like a drama kid fantasy project where they all got to live their dream of being actors. And like, I want to see me and JVL doing like an action scene together. That sounds great.
I'm going to have to just say no on that.
When we were at that conference in DC, Cam, someone looked at me and was like, you realize they say that DC is Hollywood for ugly people. And I was like, wait, I was like, that's true. But hey, wait a minute.
I live in Chicago. I have a question for you on the debate stuff, Adam. I want to get you out of the, you know, kind of blue haired, centrists, neoliberal, like woke pipeline of debating on CNN and get you into the real shit.
How many people with blue hair do they have on CNN?
No, watchers. The watchers of CNN are, you know, they're elderly.
Dude, people with blue hair are watching fucking Hassan. Like they're
no, I'm talking CNN about not dyed blue hair. I'm talking about their hair has gone from brown to gray to blue.
Got it.
Like, you know how really old ladies have blue hair or men, and nothing wrong with it. We appreciate all of you who are viewing this channel.
I love
show.
Fun hair color.
Though I don't want your feedback, but I do on this show. On the other shows, it's fine. I don't really love when 82-year-olds provide feedback to the FY pod, though. Whatever. I can take it. I'm a big boy. I'm not a snowflake. The viewers of CNN, I think, are median age like 68. And what I want from Mach is I need you in either like the crypto space. Can you do crypto? Do you know any crypto? Do you know any MMA, sports gambling, golf? Do you know any of these things?
Crypto, stocks. I could learn some baseball. Should we do some like basketball training? And then I go in these spaces and I'm libbed up.
Yeah. I want you to go on like the, you know, the Wall Street memes account, you know, I want you to do some debate lord stuff in the toxic bro space. I feel like that is where your highest and best purpose. Can we work on that?
The red pill spaces, Wall Street bets, the crypto spaces. Yeah. And then dude, that's actually a decent idea because if I continue to scale my business, I can be an example of someone who's like, hey, I'm a business owner. I'm not a fucking loser. And I'm someone who can talk to you about this.
You can get rich and do the Dave Portnoy barstool thing where you're just like, fuck you, I'm a rich lib. Fuck you. And if you ever lose a debate, you just be like, fuck you. You think you won the debate? I'm rich. You're fucking arguing on YouTube, you fucking loser, blah. Like alpha. That's what I want from you. Let's get you rich.
You see me at Scott Jennings next week. You're like,
yeah, let's get you rich on Ethereum and shit talking people. That's what I want from you. But also with a good heart.
Doing like selfie videos with nice cars. Like they don't even need to be our cars. Like I have a lot of rich friends. If I just went to my rich friends' nice houses and on vacation with their families and just started taking selfie videos like, yeah, man, look where woke got me. Like I say pronouns and stuff and this is, and I'm hanging out here in the sauna.
Can I say, a lot of my debates over the next few years might be about like race type stuff, not because I want to, but because when I go through my feed or what my young friends are liking, this is a really serious problem. Nick Fuentes is about to be the biggest political commentator for young people over the next 2 to 3 years. And this is a projection that I'm decently confident in. I think that Nick Fuentes continues to rise. I think he knows when to moderate his beliefs, but he wraps it all in this. So he does this thing too. And I've been studying him as someone who I pay attention to. He's in the space.
He's so talented. And he's a racist prick. He's totally irredeemable. He's awful, but he's so talented. He's so good at this.
Everything I'm saying is with like the presupposition that he's a terrible racist person, but he makes it all seem intuitive. He's like, why do I not want my children to look like me? I want my children to be the same race and I want my grandchildren to be the same race. Therefore, but he never really says the prescription. Like, what's the prescription there? You know, he never fully leads you there. So then we have a whole group of young people who are growing up on this front. The point is, I think I'm going to have to spend a lot of time combating stuff like that, clip farming on stuff like that.
I agree.
Also, I'm going to do red pill spaces too, but we'll see where it takes me.
I love that. That's good. You should do that. Your point on Fuentes, this is the other thing I was going to ask you about. And then we're kind of running out of time. But you saw this dude, Bryland Hollyhole. I think that's
Holly
his name.
Hand.
I debated him.
Holly Hole. What did you say, Cameron?
Bryland Hollyhand. He sounds like a noble lord from Game of Thrones.
Whatever. And he looks like, I'm not going to say what I was about to say. He has like a 1990s Republican vibe about him. He's trying to do the fill the Charlie Kirk space. And, you know, and it's just like, this is not going to happen, bro. It's like the Fuentes people are filling that space. Like, it's getting worse, not better. So it seems like you agree with that. I don't know if there's any even thing to discuss. We have unanimity on that.
I've been following Bryland Hollyhand for a year because my first ever TV hit was on not Newsmax, but Newsmax 2. And I went on and I tried.
There's to a Newsmax him. 2?
There's a Newsmax 2.
Wow. Yeah. T-O-O or T-W-O?
T-W-O. Like, huh. Letter 2. It's not a fucking second movie for a series or some shit. But I hopped on and I debated this Bryland kid, and the hosts started debating me back. So it was a 3v1. I realized this kid doesn't have the juice. Since then, he's been trying so hard to plant himself and do these college tours. And after Kirk died, he honestly must have been jumping with joy. He's like, this is my opportunity to get in there. He doesn't have the juice. Charlie Kirk.
Do you have that clip of you versus Bryland on Newsmax 2?
Of course. We'll put it up.
Okay, let's put that up too. Yeah.
Why didn't he do that his first 4 years, though? Why didn't he already do that? I can put the same question
because
back
he
to you.
Was actually creating a foundation.
Founding a foundation in American history.
And
he created such a good foundation that 92% of his advisors turned on him. All of his closest generals turned on him. He lost his vice president. What kind of person builds a foundation that they have to completely restart fresh their next administration? I mean, Bryland, can you tell me why Mike Pence isn't his VP anymore?
Adam, I appreciate you asking the questions, but I'm going to take the reins back since we're the hosts.
I mean, just to end this off, for everything they say about Charlie Kirk, which I agree with, like I have made 100 videos debunking Charlie Kirk's beliefs, he did have, quote unquote, the juice. Like, you can't just deny that he built something that was unique throughout his lower 20s, mid 20s, and upper 20s. Bryland Hollyhand is like a uncharismatic shell of a person.
I think we've played this clip on FYPod before, but it's been a while, so I want to play it again. I'm not really a debater, but I was invited on News Nation to talk about the illegal war, you know, strikes in Iran. And I was put on with this kid, Jackson Gosnell, friend of the show. He's this little Lindsey Graham type that was beaming with an ear to ear grin the entire Charlie Kirk funeral because he understood what a career opportunity it was for him. And this is us talking about Iran.
Little kid, right? Well, let's make that the last point, Jackson, because that's true for you too, right? Since you're a little kid, it was Iraq, Afghanistan. Yeah. That's all you've known, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I would argue that it's because of Democrats, right? We had another term of Trump before, and there was not these big problems.
The Democratic president, George W. Bush,
right. I mean,
heard
that's
that
a
stuff
little,
about WMDs.
Okay,
that is a little bit of a rough one, Jackson.
Well, I mean, I think that Democrats largely, they love to get involved in things that they don't need to be involved with. And then Republicans have to put out the fires. I think that largely that's happened over and over again.
Yeah, the whole, I have to say the George W. Bush thing's a tough one, though. But I get your larger points, both of you.
And the reason I bring this clip up is because Adam said something very important when he was talking about Hollyhand, which is that to be a conservative commentator, you don't need skills, you don't need intellect, you don't need swagger or charisma or to be...
You need some riz. To be really good, you need riz.
To be really good, you need riz, sure, but to get to a point where they invite you to like the White House now and to get to a point where you get to be making content on Capitol Hill with these politicians, the bar is so fucking low. If you just repeat the same 6 talking points... You know, me, Adam, our friend Jack Cotturella, similar guy, we get held to a higher standard. That's all I'm saying. I'm not high, I'm not Mr. Intellectual. I speak to how people feel at any given time. That's my field of expertise. But we all have to have a thing. We all have to have a thing that we do. And to be a conservative commentator, especially as a Zoomer, if you just say the same 6 things enthusiastically enough, boom, they're going to lift you up. They're going to industry plant you and you don't have to fight for shit.
And you have to be very obviously in the closet, too.
Yeah, you got to work on that southern accent, Cameron. It's not quite there. Before I get to the mailbag, our final segment, you had a pitch that you mentioned in the green room, but I cut you off so that you could
Everybody,
do it live.
Bulwark Live, we've got breaking news. I spoke with the team over at Bulwark, all of the people who run the company with whom I regularly speak and who know who I am. And we were talking about doing a Bulwark Live event bringing together all of the best top political commentators. That's guys like us. That's guys like our friends at Midas. That's guys like the PodSave folks, things like that. And we're going to make a conference in the beautiful, beautiful desert oasis paradise of Saudi Arabia. It is going to be paid for by. Well, okay.
Who's paying for it?
Are you familiar with 9/11?
Yeah.
Okay, don't worry about that. It's going to be paid for by the Saudis.
The Crown Prince.
We spoke with them. Listen. A lot of people are going to be critical. A lot of people are going to call us sellouts and say that we don't have any morals. And to that, all I can say is we talked to Qatar. We talked to Qatar. We talked about what they would have to offer us, whether that's an airplane, whether that's some sort of neutral ground for some peace talks. And at the end of the day, the Saudis are so dedicated to the art form of liberal democracy that they were willing to put the money out there. And we're humans. Like, we're as entitled to a boat or a beach house or, you know, some new stocks as anybody on the right. And I think that there's a left-wing purity test where they say, oh, you know, these people were involved in the conspiracy to do 9/11, which means that you can't take money from it. It's like, okay, fuck you. Like, every country has its own problem. No, so we're riffing on the comedy show, and I encourage you to look this up. I forget what it's called.
The Riyadh Comedy Festival. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's not great. All these guys are going to there. Everyone's going there, even some people I really like in the comedy
space. Some of the most famous comedians of all time.
Pete Davidson's dad was a firefighter who died at 9/11. Now, far be it from me to tell Pete Davidson how to honor his dead father, but he's going. I thought that was noteworthy. Here's the problem for me. Even if I shared the just total moral vacuity of the people going there, even if I like was one of those people who was like, I don't see black or white, I only see green, the only color I care about is green, even if I was one of those people,
that's something Diamond and Silk said about Trump, by the way. Diamond and Silk, they made a song called Trump's Your President. And one of the things they said was the only color he sees is green.
Even if I was somebody like that, we have a big problem with this idea. Which is, I can't take the Crown Prince's money for two reasons. Number one, I did pro bono PR back before I was a content king. I did PR for a friend whose children were kidnapped by the Crown Prince, and I believe are still imprisoned in Saudi Arabia. And so I've said a lot of very nasty things about him, and I was warned by my friends that I'm no longer allowed to go to Saudi Arabia. Not that I was ever fucking wanting to go to Saudi Arabia anyway. Not also very nice to the gays there. No really popping gay bars, you know. After the live shows, I like to go to the gay bar usually. No popping gay bars in Riyadh. But then on top of that, final thing, and Mako, I'm wondering what your take is on this. But I've become a little bit – I have a little bit of professional jealousy with Candace that she you know, she has got like the amount of engagement she gets talking about how Emmanuel Macron's wife has a dick is really off the charts. I mean, she's doing numbers that are way bigger than mine. Now, I will say that Brigitte Macron apparently has now in court made filings demonstrating that she does not have a dick. I didn't care one way or the other. I believed her from the start. But Candace's success on the transvestigation, the failed transvestigation of Brigitte Macron, had me wondering some things. And on a recent episode of Pod Save America, I was floating something that I'd heard just kind of around the grapevine, which was that MBS was intersex. And he has like a microphallus. And so I was kind of discussing that and like whether like the next time he comes, like we need to have doctors kind of get out the little forceps and like kind of check underneath his dress and like see if that's true or not, if he's really a hermaphrodite. And we don't know anything about that one way or the other. It's just something we're hearing out there. It's an allegation. It's not something I'd ever accuse the MBS of. But it's something that we're that we might consider looking into, you know, just given the content engagement. I'm just wondering if you've thought about any transvestigations as part of your platform or whether you're kind of happy with the material you're putting out.
We were going to start one on Candace Owens a bit back, but don't know. That might be a bit too ultra ironic.
On the nose. She has had a child. What would be the idea there? That the uterus, it's a fake uterus? Or what would be the thought?
I haven't seen any, like, evidence she actually had the child. I don't know. Here's the thing. They do this to Michelle Obama all the time in the most disgusting way.
They do.
So, like, literally, Michelle, they always say the same thing. We're like, Michelle has multiple kids. They're like, we didn't see her have the kids. How do you know they're her kids? They always have some answer for it. So
meanwhile, all those children are like a spitting image of their parents.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm basically crafting my transvestigation theory so I can unveil it on CNN.
Okay, well, that's good. You keep working on that.
I would like to thank one of our sponsors, to whom I am very morally compelled to support, ExpressVPN. This show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. True or false? Incognito mode makes you invisible on the internet. The answer is, in case you couldn't guess this, false. Most people have no idea, but your browsing history can still be monitored and even recorded unless you use ExpressVPN. Oh, shit. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have servers in over 100 countries so you can gain access to thousands of new shows and never run out of stuff to watch. I wanted to watch The Notebook, which I watch several times a week, a few weeks ago, because that left US Netflix at the end of August, but it's still kicking around in Australia, where they also got rid of guns. ExpressVPN also keeps you private and secure by rerouting all your traffic through an encrypted tunnel. And I assure you, I know exactly what that means. It's easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button to change locations, and it works on all your devices, phones, laptops, tablets, smart TVs, and more. Protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/fypod. That is expressvpn.com/fypod to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months free. ExpressVPN.com/FYPod. Thank you so much, ExpressVPN.
Final thing, final segment. It's Boomer Mailbag. Let's go. All right. The Boomer Mailbag question is for Cameron this week, though it might be for both of you. I don't think that the commenter knew that we were going to have a heterosexual male on the show. Why would they have assumed that, considering they're very challenging to find? Just you and Harry Sisson, as far as I can tell. My daughter, here it is. My daughter, named Redacted, is a 26-year-old former Marine and musician attending, also redacted, where she is studying French horn performance. 26-year-old former Marine studying French horn performance. She's really smart, charismatic, and exhaustingly extroverted. She likes role-playing games, board games, soccer, and performing classical music. Unfortunately, she also has a history touched by gun violence. That's sad. But having been a Marine, she's also an expert markswoman, although she's not a gun person per se. And she's bisexual. Everybody's fucking bisexual. And she's bisexual. Any chance Cameron wants to meet her? Before you answer, I want to run down one more time. Marine, French horn performance, smart, extroverted, exhaustingly, role-playing games, soccer, been touched by gun violence. Expert marksman.
Also has touched to gun violence.
Expert marksman. Cameron, any chance you would like to meet her?
I would like to meet everyone that I possibly can in these United States. To this young woman, I want to say, listen, in a world where it's hard to figure out how to talk to people and relate to people and get to know them, you have something that we in the world of theater call range. Because you've got a lot of stuff going on. And I want you to play into that and recognize that you seem like a very interesting person. And if you accept that about yourself and you own it and you're proud of it, you're going to do well on the dating market because you have a lot of shit to talk about, right? So listen, I love classical music. I don't like role-playing games because I don't have the attention span for them, but I love the idea of it. Like, you seem like a catch. You know, I don't know if I need to be in a relationship with another person who has a personal experience with gun violence, just because I would love to have a relationship where I don't have to think about gun violence as much as I already do. That's just a personal thing. It's the same way that I don't want to date someone who's like really, really, really into politics, because then when I go home at night, it's harder to take a load off and feel like I can turn off for a little while. I want someone who I can know that for like the hour before we go to bed, politics is just not going to come up. But Adam seems interested.
Seems a long way to say no. Adam, what about you?
No, I mean, that was a really serious, thoughtful answer from Cameron. And yeah, sounds like a great human being.
26, how's that age for you? That's a little older than an older woman. Or do you date older women or what's your preference?
Yeah, I mean, I could do 26, but honestly, no, it sounds like a great person, but I'm too busy to date right now.
You're not dating at all.
Not really. No, I mean, I have like my flings or whatever, but I'm not able to commit time to a relationship right now.
Okay. Or whatever. I like that. Flings, we'll leave that hanging in the air for people that might be interested in a fling or whatever out there. All right, Cameron, take us home.
Everybody, this was the show. Adam Mockler is not only a friend and not only someone who sends me Google Calendar invites for regular friend hangouts, which is something for which he ought to go to prison. He is also a frequent guest and contributor on the spinoff FY Pod channel that you all should subscribe to. I have Adam on to talk about the stuff that is not important enough for him to cover on his own channel, so he can just have an outlet to go after some of the goofier shit with me. So everybody like and subscribe to that. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, Tim and I have some fun surprises for you. We're going to be returning to our in-person studio, which is very fun.
I'm going to be poking you in the upper chest.
And Tim is going to poke me, which is something that I will scream about, and then it'll be a problem for the Bulwark office. Everybody like and subscribe. We'll be seeing you soon. Adam, thanks so much, brother. Keep up the good work.
Later, Mike. Appreciate you.